going on, Fourth Initials Fantasy Football listeners? We got Dan and Stevie P today. What's going on, Dan?
What's up, Steve? What's up, listeners?
What's going on, everybody? Kev can't be with us tonight. He has other obligations with the family. So, you know, family comes first. And wish Kev and his family a good time tonight. So we are going to go over the team breakdowns today, go over some news, and go over last night's game that actually wasn't terrible until the end. So let's get into that. Let's do the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right, so in injury news today, we have Cam Newton, we already know, is out. Drew Brees, also still out. You know, they have videos of him throwing the football, looking pretty good out there. You know, it's a smaller sized football than a normal football, but he still looks good doing it. You know, Rudolph with that concussion won't be playing in this game. We got Todd Gurley. They're saying he's doubtful, so we're just going to list him as out. Whenever we do these listings of injuries, if we ever see somebody doubtful, we're just going to put him as out. But make sure you check those, you know, check those out, because sometimes something miraculous happens and the guy feels much better the day of the game. But, you know, so far from what we know, he's doubtful to play. AJ Green out. He was been practicing, limited practice. Looks like he should be back relatively soon, you know, if not next week, definitely the week after. Albert Wilson is had some limited practices, but it looks like they're saying he's going to be out. We got D-Jax going to be out this week. Hunter Henry has a full practice today, but he is listed as out. So that's promising for anybody who has Hunter Henry on your fantasy team. If you don't have him on your fantasy team, he's on your waiver wire, and you know, we're in a league that starts the tight end. You might want to pick him up now. Sammy Watkins is also doubtful. So, you know, we're going to list him as out. Vernon Davis is a surprise out. They said that he was limited practice yesterday, and now today they're saying he did not practice and he will be out for this game. So on the questionable side, we have Alvin Kamara did not practice today, and he is questionable for this weekend. So keep your eyes and ears open for that. Chris Carson also listed as questionable, but he is a full participant in practice this week. We got David Johnson was a limited practice, but he'll be a game time decision according to Cliff Kingsbury. Latavius Murray did not practice today also, so you know, keep your eyes and ears open to what's going on with the Saints. Rashad Penny also questionable, limited practice today. Albert Wilson, I already read that. Amari Cooper is going to be limited. He's had three limited practices this week, but you know, all signs seem like he's going to be fine for the game. Cooks was a full practice today, so he should be going. He's questionable. Christian Kirk, three limited practices this week, and Cliff Kingsbury also said he would be a game-time decision. We got Cortland Sutton, full practice today, questionable. Jamison Crowder, full practice today, questionable. Julio Jones, two limited practices this week. He did not practice Wednesday, limited on Thursday, limited on Friday, so it looks like he's going to go. Larry Legend, full practice today. He should be good. Tyreek Hill, three limited practices this week. Will be a game-time decision, according to Andy Reid. Delanie Walker was a full practice today. George Kittle was a limited practice today, but it looks like he's going to go. Mark Andrews, also a full practice after being limited 2 days this week, should be going. Devontae Adams did not practice. They're saying that it's going to be probably 2 to 6 weeks from the date of the injury. So we all know, you know, that happened two Thursdays ago when he faced the Eagles. So he's probably not going to play this Thursday night. He's listed as doubtful. And we will see when he's going to be back. You know, we'll probably know a little bit better after Monday, you know, when on Tuesdays when they break down, you know, injuries. Kenny Stills is going to be a game time decision. And TJ Hockenson is on track to play after that concussion we all saw, you know, hit his head pretty good there. The Giants signed Buck Allen and got rid of Hilleman. And Melvin Gordon is listed to get more reps, according to Anthony Lynn.
Yeah, I think he's projected to get at least 60% of the reps this week. I think they just wanted to ease him in week one. Obviously, that, you know, they weren't going to just throw him to the wolves, but he's going to eventually get his full workload back.
Yeah,
even as good as Eckler's doing, he's going to be, you know, you can't hold him out. He's too talented. 70% of the plays.
Exactly. And that's the other thing. You know what I mean? Like, with Melvin Gordon, he's also one of those backs that, you know, he gets better as the game goes on. So I think Anthony Lynn recognizes that, not to mention the Chargers need to figure out if they're going to keep him this year or next. You know what I mean? They might do a situation like DeMarco Murray a couple years ago with the Cowboys, where they just run him into the ground and let him go. You know, either way, they're going to have to figure out what they're going to do with him. So I think Melvin is in line to start getting a whole lot more touches. You know, don't get rid of Eckler. I mean, Eckler, I think, is still going to be viable. You know, I could see a 70-30 split like it was last year, you know, 75-25 some games. So Eckler, you know, is still a dynamic back who can catch the ball out of the backfield, and he's going to be used. All right, so that is the news. Let's get into that game from yesterday. So it was terrible when you consider how many turnovers there were. But the Giants' defense really played, I thought, pretty damn good. You know what I mean? They got some turnovers. They actually scored a touchdown in that game. You know, for me, the Giants' defense is probably not a defense you're going to be starting every week. But, you know, in a good matchup, I could see myself, you know, using the Giants, especially like in DFS, because, you know, they were getting after Tom Brady yesterday. And that's the other thing. I don't know if you noticed, Dan, but the offensive line for the Patriots is just, it's just not good.
Yeah, it's getting worse. It started the season off pretty, I mean, they play bad teams at the beginning of the year, and Giants, you know, front actually is decent. And yeah, they definitely made it a priority to get after them. And they had pressure on them the entire game, and that's, you know, caused some turnovers. For me, I think that, you know, they played hard for 55 out of 60 minutes, and they just looked like they were frustrated because they were doing everything they could to keep them in there, and Daniel Jones was a turnover machine, and the Patriots defense was just scoring left and right. It was, you know, as much as they were battling what they could do, they were running uphill.
Yeah, they really were. I mean, it was, you know, it's just one of those games, you know what I mean, that when your defense is playing that good, it's a little frustrating for them, and it's a little frustrating for, you know, the team as a whole. You know, you could see Daniel Jones was really trying out there. Just, he didn't have it last night. You know what I mean? He threw a couple of balls that were just really bad balls. You know, the Stephon Gilmore throw that Stephon, you know, caught the interception, you know, going out of bounds. That was literally right to him, you know. And he made a couple of throws that, you know, you look at them and you were like, wow, like that throw that he threw to Golden Tate for that, you know, 70-yard touchdown, that was a hell of a throw. That was right where it needed to be, because if it was out any further, you know, Golden Tate doesn't make that catch. And if it's any closer, you know, Jones knocks that pass down. So it was literally right where it needed to be. So you see glimpses of Jones being very good for just, you know, just for fantasy and for, you know, the Giants. So I think they got a good quarterback. They just, you know, they just need to work with him. It is what it is. So, you know, let's talk about the numbers in this game. If you look at, you know, what each team did, the Patriots really didn't do much. Now you look at Tom Brady's numbers, you know, he had 334, but it really was like at the end of the game, you know, he started Julian Edelman, you know, was being targeted basically all game. You know, he had 15 for 9 and 1, you know, 113 yards. Tom Brady didn't throw a touchdown. He did throw a pick in this game. And actually the pick was, I think it was a miscommunication between him and Julian Edelman. You know, Julian Edelman was supposed to cut out right, I guess. And
Because Tom doesn't make a throw like that bad. That was way behind him. It would definitely look like he thought Julian was going to cut to his right. Julian went to his left, ball soared on him, and yeah, it looked like it was miscommunication.
Yeah,
Tom did have two rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, he did have the two rushing touchdowns, which, you know, ended up helping him out. But, you know, for passing wise, you know, the 334 looks good, but he really, in the beginning, especially in the beginning of the game, he didn't look like he had it early. And then he just started, you know, getting into a groove and looking much better. Like I told you, in close games, James White is going to be used a whole lot, and he was in this game. James White had nine receptions for 46 yards. You know, it's not a whole lot of yards, but, you know, in these close games, you know, it's going to be the James White show. You know what I mean? James White is going to be Tom Brady's, you know, little blankie. It's his security blanket. So, you know, Sony Michel owners are a little bit pissed off after Brandon Bolden, ran the ball, I think it was twice from the 1 yard line. But, you know, Sony did not look good in this game. That's the one thing I will say. He kept running to the back of his linemen. He kept getting, you know, he just can't break a tackle. You know what I mean?
His only good run was the last play of the game when he, you know, got to the 8 yard line. When Giants pretty much gave up, I thought he was going to actually get in there, but that was like a 26-yard run. That was his best play of the game. Other than that, he was going side to side way too much. Yeah. He never found any holes. He never went straight ahead. He just was just bouncing around side to side.
Yeah, and he just doesn't break tackles. He really doesn't. The one bright spot that I actually thought on the Patriots defense that I think could be something was Jacoby Myers. He made some really good catches in this game. You know, he caught a ball, where the defender basically draped on him. And he actually, if you watch the play, he moves the ball up so that the defender can't bat it out of his hands. It was kind of a heads up, you know, good catch play. So, you know, look out for Jacoby Myers, especially if Dorsett is going to miss a couple of weeks. Jacoby Myers could actually just end up taking his job because we all know, you know, Philip Dorsett is not the greatest wide receiver in the world. So, you know, and I think Tom Brady likes Jacoby Myers. I think he likes, you know, likes the kid. So could be something there. Other than that, you know, Sony Michel had another 27-yard game. And there's not really us much to talk about in this game. You know, it was a whole lot of Edelman, a little bit of Myers, a whole lot of White. You know,
Golden Tate.
Yeah, I was talking about for the Patriots.
Oh, okay. The Giants weren't really relevant except for Golden Tate.
Yeah, it literally was just Golden Tate on the Giants side. You know, John Hilleman, you know, looked terrible. Elijah Penny looked worse. You know, it was just bad. Darius Slayton was targeted a whole lot in this game, but didn't do anything. Rhett Ellison was also targeted a lot in this game, didn't do anything. You know, 3 for 30. Golden Tate, like Dan just said, it was, you know, 6 for 102 and a touchdown. He had 9 targets in this game, but, you know, he also had a 70-yard touchdown in this game. So that really boosted up his numbers. So, you know, for me, not too much that, you know, you're going to be worried about on this Giants team until you get, you know, Saquon back and Evan Ingram back and, you know, all the guys healthy. You know, this Giants team is probably a stay away.
Yeah, if you take away that one play for the Giants, that seven, what was it, like a 70-yard touchdown?
Mm-hmm.
They had like 150 yards of offense. It's crazy.
It's so bad.
Total offense.
It's so bad. It's just, you know, they're tough to watch, man. They really were tough to watch on offense last night. You know, I know they were trying, but, you know, it is what
that
it
Patriots
is.
Secondary is. They are so shut down, though. They're incredible. Them in Buffalo, man. You watch those corners. They get on you without making contact to you. Like, I mean, I know that they give them a little bit because they're not all. They're more cover corners. They're not really handsy, but they just, I don't know. They're crazy. Gilmore especially, man. He might be the best quarterback in the league.
Yeah, he's very, very good. He was good with Buffalo. The problem with Gilmore in Buffalo was that he just didn't want to be there.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, he just didn't want to be there. But
seems to be a lot of people's problems in Buffalo. Everybody starts in Buffalo and with this huge potential, and then they go somewhere and they're a superstar.
You're not lying. You're not lying. Trust me, we know all about it. So, yeah, it was actually a 64-yard. I keep saying 70 because it's close enough, but it was a 64-yard touchdown if you want to get technical. So, you know, without that, Jones throws for less than, you know, 100 yards in the game. So that just tells you how bad it was. All right, so that's the end of that game. We are going to do our previews. I guess I will start it off with my first preview. And my first preview of this week is the Panthers-Bucks. So, you know, Kyle Allen just – the dude makes me nervous, I got to be honest. I know this is a plus matchup against a Buccaneers defense that really, you know, for the past, especially the past couple of weeks, has looked really, really bad. But it just, this matchup for him makes me a little bit nervous. I just think he has not looked good. And I think if the Buccaneers, you know, score some points in this game, they will be at home. It makes me even more nervous because if he has to come from behind, you know, has to throw a lot, I think he is susceptible to a whole lot of turnovers. But, you know, in a tough – if I'm – you know, there's a couple of guys on bye this week. If you are really hurting at quarterback, you know, you had Breeze and, you know, you picked up Josh Allen or something, some scenario like that, and that you needed to start Kyle Allen, you know, I wouldn't be supremely confident, but it is what it is. You know, at this point, bye weeks are going to start kicking in. You're going to have to start guys like Kyle Allen. So don't love him this week. Don't hate him completely, but, you know, it makes me a little bit nervous. DJ Moore is going to be going up against Hargraves. You know, he's just been bad this year, so I could see DJ Moore having an okay game. Greg Olsen had a great game against this team, you know, the first week. DJ Moore had a pretty good game. So did Curtis Samuel. But the thing is, that was with Cam Newton. So you can't really, you know, take those numbers into account. You know, McCaffrey is just a beast every single week. So you don't ever have to worry about McCaffrey. You know, and that's basically it for that side of the ball. On the Tampa Bay side, you know, Chris Godwin has been one of the best receivers in football. And he will be going up against Ross Cockrell, which, you know, I've been telling you guys that Cockrell is, you know, not the greatest of cover corners. So, you know, I think Chris Godwin, you know, the last time they played, Chris Godwin, I think, had like 70 yards and a touchdown. So, you know, I fully expect that basically same performance or maybe a little bit better. Mike Evans will be going up against Dante Jackson. And Dante Jackson has been just, you know, he's been good this year. He hasn't been great, but he's been good. So, you know, I think Mike Evans, they will make it a point to get him involved this week. And, you know, he's definitely a guy that you're starting. You know, you're starting him every week. Even though he gave you a donut last week, you're definitely starting him. O.J. Howard, we already told you, is droppable. I don't like this matchup. You know, Eric Reed is a very good corner in the league. And, you know, Shaq Thompson has been very good this year. So, you know, for me, it's not a situation where I'm starting O.J. Howard, period, at all. And then the running back, you know, Jameis Winston is definitely, you know, he's been playing very good past couple of weeks. You're definitely starting Jameis if you got him. And then the running backs in this game, they didn't do much the first time these two teams met. And Luke Kuechly has been phenomenal this year. He's been basically stopping everything. You know, Brian Burns also been pretty good. And like I said, Shaq Thompson's been very good this year. So, you know, I'm not really interested in starting any of the guys. Of the guys, you know, if I had to start one of them, it would be Jones. I just think he is the most dynamic of the three. Yeah, Peyton Barber did get most of the action the last time that they played. You know, he was the guy that they grinded it out with at the end to win the game. So, you know, I know Peyton Barber had a pretty good game. I think it was like 70 and a touchdown. Me and Dan were just talking about it. You know, I think it was 70 and a touchdown. But, you know, Jones has looked better, and I think they're going to start giving him more and more work. And then Ogunbowale, Bowale, you basically can't start. The Panthers' defense in this game, I know a lot of people are starting them, but at Tampa Bay, I don't really like it. Makes me nervous, but, you know, Jameis Winston is always susceptible to a 3-interception game. So, you know, if you absolutely have to, Carolina's defense is, you know, they're not a terrible defense to start this week. And that's basically it for this game.
All right. I'll jump into the first game that I'm going to be doing, and that's going to be Atlanta in Arizona. Two teams that do not have good records, but this game's got a high over-under. Both of these defenses are atrocious. And you got stars on the field. So, I mean, it's not, you know, you got bad records, but it ain't like the Dolphins in a Redskins game. You have guys that are fantasy relevant here. I'll start with the Atlanta side of the ball. I love Matt Ryan this week. I got him ranked number 10. Cardinals secondary, just Cardinals defense in general is just not very good. Matt Ryan should have a good game. Julio Jones, obviously he's going to be, you know, a top receiver this week should be. He should absolutely go off against Arizona. Calvin Ridley, like Calvin Ridley this week. Sanu is definitely an option too. I think, you know, with when you have bad defenses like this, I think there's plenty of room for everybody to have a big day and eat a good breakfast, or we should say lunch on this one. And Hooper's just been great. Hooper's a pretty much a every week tight end starter. I mean, unless you're carrying two stud tight ends, and if some case you are, and if you have Hooper and you have like Disley, you should probably look to trade one of them guys, because they're both lock-in starters. You know, I mean, you could probably bolster up your wide receiver two position or something like that. So yeah, you're definitely starting Hooper here. And Devontae Freeman, I mean, he's still got to be in there in your lineup, especially in a game like this. He has not been good this year. We've been talking about it week in, week out. Just been no running lanes, just not been the Devontae Freeman we're used to seeing. But, you know, he's you probably don't have many guys that you drafted as high as him. And so, I mean, he's probably going to be your, you know, be locked in as one of your starters. On the Arizona side of the ball, I'm very high on Kyler this week. I actually have him number five. I don't know if necessarily I like him more in the passing game than Matt Ryan. I think both of these guys should go for 300 yards. But I just think that Kyler ahead of other guys because he's got that ability to run. You know, him, Lamar Jackson, they're dual threats every time they're on the field. I think Kyler can easily get, you know, 8 to 10 rushes, one or, you know, at least a rushing touchdown. I actually like Kyler for 4 total touchdowns this game. I think he's going to go off. You know, 2-3 rushing, 2-3 passing. So I'm big on Kyler this week. I don't care who your backup is. Make sure Kyler's in your lineup. This should be the week that he, you know, finally breaks out and has the he's been consistently decent. I mean, he hasn't been bad. Like I think Kev mentioned last week that he's been I think he's like a number 12 or 13 overall right now. He might even be a smidge higher than that. But so he hasn't been in the middle or the bottom.
Number nine.
Okay. And I have him on my team, so I obviously follow this guy every single, you know, drive. And it seems like it's because that offense has not been anywhere close to potent as they're expected. But he's been the one bright spot. I mean, he hasn't looked great, but he hasn't looked bad, and he's got that running ability. And when you're in a fantasy football league and you have a guy that can rush the ball 10 times or more, he's going to definitely, even on a bad day, he's going to put up 20 fantasy points. So I love Kyler this week. I absolutely love Fitz. Trufant is out. I mean, that secondary already is horrible and beat up, and Trufant is out. So they're going to be, I don't know who they're going to play. I don't know who they're going to be able to cover. I mean, this over under, Mike, is like, it's 51 right now. It might even go up to 55 if, you know, once the news of Trufant gets out and there's nobody out there that's going to be able to, you know, it could just be an all out air attack this game. You know, I mean, David Johnson is a good running back, but he hasn't been really that productive on the ground. He's been more productive in checkdowns, and I think they could make it a point to get him lots of checkdowns this game, open up the middle of the field. But yeah, speaking of David Johnson, definitely want to start him. And the only other Cardinal possibly is Kirk. I think he's been coming on pretty strong, and this could be a game for him to go off too.
Yeah, I don't really have too much to add. I think Dan is definitely right about Kyler. You know, I would, especially if Kirk goes in this game, I really like Kyler because I think Kirk could really be good, you know. But, yeah, I like Fitz. I think Fitz is going to be great in this game, and this is going to be a fun game to watch. This is two bad defenses and two pretty good offenses. I think, you know, the Arizona Cardinals haven't been a great offense so far this year, but Atlanta's defense is just – like Dan said, Terra horrible. So, you know, it is what it is. They're going to give up some points. So it's going to be a fun week. So since Kev is not with us, we are going to do his games. So we'll kind of both hit on the Philly-Minnesota game. That's Kevin's first game of the week. So, you know, I'll start it off. I think that this game is going to be a little higher scoring than I think people think. You know, the Eagles and Minnesota Vikings, you know, the past couple of years have actually been pretty high scoring games. I think last year, what was the score of the last year's game, Kev? Dan, it was like what, 20, I think it was 28 to 20.
Yeah. It wasn't quite as high as the playoff game from them a couple years ago, but it was they both were in the 20s, I think.
Yeah. So, you know, this are two teams that, you know, they know each other because they played each other the past couple of years. And I think that, you know, the Eagles' defense has been pretty rough against the pass. And, you know, Kirk Cousins has taken, you know, like Kev said the other day, you know, Kirk Cousins has, I think he said it was a 5-3 record against the Eagles all time. So it's a team.
Yeah,
that
he burned us in Washington. He always killed us in Washington. As long as it's a 1 o'clock game, you put Kirk Cousins on primetime. Yeah, anybody beats Kirk Cousins on primetime. But on 1 o'clock games, which, you know, Eagles and Washington mostly did get 1 o'clock games. Washington's wasn't really a you know, marketable team. So, you know, 1 o'clock games, he seems to shine. And in Washington, he killed a lot of teams in Washington. That's why that's how he got that contract.
Yeah,
He was really good in Washington.
Yeah, he did. All right, so, you know, looking at it, it's basically the Diggs and Thielen show, I think, in this game. You know, I know a lot of people are scared to play Diggs because of just how hit or miss he is. I don't think this is a miss game. I think this is a hit game. You know, I think Kirk Cousins is going to have to come out throwing. You know, I don't, like Kev said the other day, you don't beat the Eagles on the ground. So, you know, Dalvin Cook, I do think, is going to be viable in this game. He's viable every week. He's every week starter for you. You know, but I think it's going to be more of the passing game that he's involved in that's going to help you out. Diggs is going to be good. Thielen is going to be good. You know, I wouldn't start Kyle Rudolph. I just would avoid that completely. And I think Kirk Cousins is going to be good. So, you know, that's basically it for the, you know, Viking side of the ball. And I wouldn't play either of these defenses either. I don't know how you feel, Dan, but I think this could be a higher scoring game, and I wouldn't risk either one of these defenses.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. The Eagles obviously looked great last week because it was the Jets, but they haven't been a good defense this year. It was just a good week for the Eagles, being the team that they played in Minnesota, who has been a very good defense this year. They're gonna have their hands full with the Eagles. I mean, it's, you know, the Eagles put up points there, you know. They're going to score 20-something every week, so I wouldn't play the Vikings either.
Yeah. Zach Ertz is one of my favorite tight ends this week on DFS. You know, so if you play Daily Fantasy, you know, I definitely would throw Ertz in a couple of lineups. Alshon Jeffrey is, you know, Alshon Jeffrey is probably one of the safest, you know, wide receivers to play in fantasy. You know, he's never going to get you those crazy blow-up games where he goes for like 150 and three touchdowns. That's not his game. He's going to be in the, you know, 60 to 100 range, anywhere in between there, and a touchdown, maybe two, in a good game. You know, so I like Alshon this week. I think he could definitely get you, you know, 60 to 80 yards and a possible touchdown this week. So, you know, I definitely am starting him, you know, as a wide receiver, you know, low-end wide receiver too. Carson Wentz is just Carson Wentz, man. He's just the watch the guy get, play. He's awesome. There's no other way to say it. The dude is just awesome. He makes plays when you don't expect plays to be made. You know, 2 weeks ago, I think the biggest thing that stood out was, you know, he only threw for 160 yards, but he had three touchdowns, you know, against the Green Bay Packers. And to me, that's a sign of a really good quarterback, especially a really good fantasy quarterback, a guy that doesn't have to throw for a million yards to score you a whole lot of points. So, you know, Wentz is a guy that's going to, you know, be in your lineup every single week, and I'm not scared to play him against anybody. You know, I know last week he got game scripted out. You know, the Jets just are a terrible team, and the defense was scoring, so he didn't need to score. But, you know, regardless of that fact, if Carson Wentz needed to throw three touchdowns last week, he would have. You know, he just didn't have to. So it's one of those game script things. And I don't think this is going to be a game script that, you know, doesn't favor Carson Wentz. For the running backs on the Eagle side of the ball, if you need a flex play, I would start Jordan Howard. I would also start Sanders if you needed a flex this week because, you know, there are, what is it? Is it four teams on bye, Dan?
Yeah, four teams.
Yeah, four teams on bye. So you could possibly need a flex play. And Sanders is, to me, that's what he is. He's a flex. You know, neither of these guys are a number two running back. They're both flexes to me.
Yeah, I agree. DeSean Jackson's still out, getting closer to coming back. But, still out. And there's no other really receiver. I mean, Nelson Aguilar he had a couple good weeks when Alshon wasn't in there. But with Alshon back, you know, that's Carson's go-to guy, him and Ertz. So you're not starting Aguilar. You're basically just sticking with Ertz and Alshon on the Eagles. And obviously Wentz too. He's your every week starter. Mm-hmm. So, okay, I guess
You want to just go with Kev's second game? It's New Orleans.
Yeah, I'll just go Kev's second game, and then we'll just loop it back around.
Yeah.
All right. So let me actually look here.
It is New Orleans and Jacksonville.
New Orleans and Jacksonville. Yep. All right. New Orleans and Jacksonville. This actually should be a decent game, you know, with the way Minshew's been playing. The battle of the backups. We'll call this one the battle of the backup game.
Yeah.
Bridgewater. He, you know, the four touchdowns was a great week for him. But to me, I have him ranked 16, so I don't have him ranked in my QB1 section. But I still think he's more of a game manager. I think that was just a great game for him. I still think he's more of a game manager. I still think they're going to rely on just everything they have. You know, their defense, their run game, a little bit passing when needed. I think they're just a really balanced team. They might be the most balanced team in the NFL right now, all around. So I don't know if I would really go with Bridgewater. Obviously, Kamara is still questionable. If he's playing, if he's in there, you're starting him. Murray, they said is questionable, but he was only missing today he missed today because of, I think they said it was a non-injury. I was getting updates left and right all day today, so my phone's still going off probably from updates. Definitely been a very, like Steve said on the news, but definitely been a very update day as far as injuries and questionables go, but if Kamara doesn't play, then you're putting Murray in there because he's going to get the workload. One of those two guys is going to get the bulk of the carries. You're starting Michael Thomas. He's your every week starter. I like the way Ted Ginn's been coming on lately, but I'm still not starting him until he proves some consistency. That's pretty much it on the Saints side of the ball. On the Jaguar side of the ball, you know, you got your three right now. I mean, Minshew he's been great, but I'm not going to start him against the Saints D. I have Minshew at 18. He would be higher because he has been hot, but it's just the Saints defense to me has been really good. So I'm not going to start Minshew, but I am starting DJ Chark. He's a top 10 receiver in the entire league right now in fantasy. So he's your every week starter. And obviously Leonard Fournette is an every week starter. He's a top five running back in fantasy right now. So, probably going to sit DD this week, but DD could get some looks because if Lattimore is going to be on Chark, that's going to open things up for DD, and Minshew's got to throw the ball somewhere. So it's a tough call. I mean, Chark's been the go-to guy. Chark's been the numbers guy, but if you're going by defensive matchups, then Chark could have a long day and DD could be the one that gets the bulk of targets. Would you agree with that, Steve?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I've been harping on PJ Williams all year. He is the Saints slot corner, and he's just been giving up a lot of points to the slot position. So DD in three wide receiver sets, which, you know, the Jaguars have been in a lot more lately, you know, is a guy that I think is going to see the field a whole lot. And, you know, I think PJ is going to have a tough time, you know, covering him. So like Dan said, you know, I actually think I would start Minshew this week, depending on, you know, the bye week replacement guys that you need. So I do kind of like Minshew in this game. It's at home. You know, I always like quarterbacks at home whenever I can get them, especially if I'm trying to have a replacement player. So if you picked up Minshew this week to play him, you know, I like that he's at home better than, you know, if he was on the road in New Orleans. So New Orleans they do kind of split, you know, their games. You know, it's not just Drew Brees that plays better at home. It's the whole team. The whole team plays better at home. And I think the Jaguars could get on them in this game. I like Minshew. I like Chark. You know, I even like Chris Conley, honestly, a little bit this week. If you're desperate, you know, wouldn't mind starting him. But like Dan said, you know, Westbrook definitely could be a guy that gets off. Leonard Fournette, I think, is one of those games where he could be a touchdown or two. You know, I know he hasn't been scoring a lot of touchdowns this year, and the New Orleans Saints has been a very good run defense. But at home, Leonard Fournette always seems to play a little bit better, and I think the Jaguars are going to be able to move the ball in this game, so I'm not worried about any of that. And like Dan said, on the other side of the ball, it's Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, and, you know, I would play Cook if I was desperate at tight end. But other than that, you know, I'm kind of staying away from all the other guys.
Yep.
Yep. And then the two defenses, you know, if you have the Jaguars or New Orleans, you know, you're probably starting both of them.
Yeah, this could definitely be a ball possession type game. I don't expect to see a whole lot of, you know, 350 yard passing, three touchdown passing outings from these two. Definitely more ground and pound.
Definitely. All right. So our next game is going to be Dolphins and
this
Redskins.
Better be 24 seconds.
Yeah, this is going to be real short. You know, these are just two really bad defenses. And, you know, in this game, really, if you are desperate, you're starting Preston Williams. If you're desperate, you're starting, you know, Devontae Parker. I would start both of those guys because, like I said, both of these defenses are terrible. And that's it. You know, I mean, like Drake, I would start if I absolutely needed a flex. And, you know, like I said, it doesn't sound like Albert Wilson is playing. So if Albert Wilson was playing, I would definitely tell you to start Albert Wilson because I like Albert Wilson. He has big play upside anytime he touches the ball. But, you know, that's it for the Dolphins side of the ball. On the Redskins side of the ball, Scary Terry is definitely somebody I'm playing. You know, Terry McLaurin should be good in this game. And that's basically it. You know, Trey Quinn hasn't been good. In DFS purposes, I would start Jeremy Sprinkle. He is, you know, ridiculously cheap on FanDuel. And we all found out that there's not going to be any Vernon Davis. So he is the only healthy tight end on this team. You know what I mean? Chris Thompson and Adrian Peterson, I think, are both viable this week because, you know, they're talking about giving AP 50 touches in this game, which the Dolphins defense just can't stop him. So, or can't stop, you know, any running game for that matter. So, you know, I would play AP as a flex. I would play Chris Thompson as a flex. And that's it. You know, I'm not starting Case Keenum. I'm not starting Trey Quinn. I'm not starting, you know, Paul Richardson, just guys that I don't want to start. And if you are absolutely desperate at defense, I would pick up the Washington Redskins defense or the Miami Dolphins defense because I think both these teams are bad. So, you know, if you were desperate, I would play both of these defenses, either one of these defenses.
I think you're going to see a defensive or special team score too because there's going to be some sloppy play. There's going to be some turnovers. I know I said last week about Chris Thompson, and I'll repeat it again. Chris Thompson only in PPR. I know there's not a ton of standard leagues out there, but if you are in a standard league, Chris Thompson does not get many carries. I mean, the dude's lucky to get 5 carries a game, but he gets 10 targets every single game. So PPR, definitely Thompson's a good flex play. Next game. We have I got the 4 o'clockers. I don't know. I don't think I did that on purpose. I think I just was looking at the games and they ended up being the 4 o'clockers. So I got
San Francisco Rams.
Yep. San Francisco and Rams. This one should be a good game. San Francisco's looked so good. And the Rams have looked so bad lately. I mean, Rams are -3. They are home, but it's got a 50.5 over. So, I mean, they're not really expecting these. Yeah. I don't think you start the Niners defense in this one. As bad as the Rams have been, Gurley's doubtful, so Gurley probably isn't going to play. It's still the Rams. It's still a team that can go off for 35, 40 points any week. It's just, you know, so as hot as the San Francisco D has been, I don't think you can start them. As far as their offensive players go, the Rams defense has been horrible. So I love Jimmy G. I think I have Jimmy G pretty high this week. Like Jimmy G against the, I actually have him 15th because I think that, you know, I think they're going to continue to do what they've been working for him, and that's just running with the ball. So definitely, Breida and Coleman, I know they're both, 1 and 2. Did they get someone else back too? Or,
no, I don't think so.
Yeah, I know McKinnon's still on injury reserve, but I thought that they had some. Yeah, so you're definitely
Tevin
starting
Coleman. I mean, but he played last week.
He played late. He looked good last week too. So yeah, you're starting Coleman. You're starting Breida. They both had great games last week. And like I said, the Rams defense is not very good. They do have the two good secondary guys who have looked really bad, but they're veterans. They can lock it down at any time. So the only receiver I really like from San Fran, obviously, is Kittle. He's an every week starter, a tight end position. You know, you got Pettis, you got a bunch of young guys that need to prove themselves, you know, Pettis and Debo, you know, these guys have all shined a little here or there, but none of these guys are consistent enough to, for me to really put them in as a starter. On the other side of the ball, the Rams, I don't know how I feel about Jared Goff this week. I have him at 17. Just because that Niners defense is stifling. So, and I think you have better options than Jared Goff this week. So, don't really like Jared Goff. I do think that if Gurley starts, you're going to have to play him. If not, Malcolm Brown is probably going to be a starter. Just, you know, the defense, the offense, like I said, the potential to move the ball is still always there. And you want to make sure that you have a Rams running back in the lineup. And you're going to start. Obviously, I think Cooks is out, right? Concussion. He hasn't passed concussion protocol. So Cooks is out and you're starting Wood. You're starting Kupp. Kupp's been great. I think this could be a week that, you know, Kupp could get off the schneid a little. He's been on an awesome schneid, the good schneid. So I think this is a week that he might actually come back down to earth a little, but it's a tough game. I mean, this game could go either way. So it's really tough to predict, but you just got to start the guys that have been consistently doing well. You know, I wouldn't take any real chances this week. I think there's other options out there, you know, with all the names we're throwing out there on other teams, to start on teams that are playing worse defenses. You know, this Niners defense is not, they've been so good. It's not a team to really take a chance on.
Yep. The only thing I will say is, I think one of the wide receivers for the 49ers is going to have a good game. You know, I don't know if it's Godwin. I don't know if it's Samuels.
Goodwin.
Yeah, Goodwin. I always say Godwin.
The track boy.
Exactly. I don't know which one it's going to be, but I do know that Akeem Talib is not going to be in this game, which is a big deal because now they have to start Troy Hill, which is not a good thing. And, you know, for me, one of those guys could burn him deep. So I wouldn't be surprised if one of those guys gets a long touchdown in this game. You know, Godwin is the long ball guy, so it wouldn't surprise me if he has a long touchdown in this game. And then, you know, George Kittle is just an animal. I don't care what defense it is. He's going to be awesome. You know, at home, George Kittle always seems to have a very good game at home in, you know, the confines of San Francisco.
They're in L.A.
Oh, they are in L.A.
They're in L.A. But he's still good, so it doesn't matter. It's Kittle.
It's Kittle. Exactly.
You don't have any better options at tight end than Kittle. If you do, you know, I don't know who you drafted that early, but because you obviously got Kittle super early, so I don't know who you got.
I don't know what the hell I was looking. Oh, you know what it was? I was looking at Arizona, Atlanta, right next to each other. I was thinking Atlanta, Arizona. But yeah, San Francisco still. You know, George Kittle is definitely a play. Let's see what else. I think that's basically it. Like Dan said, Garoppolo, you know, you're playing him this week. You know, Breida broke off an 89 yard touchdown last week. And, you know,
80 and change.
Yeah. Some 80, yeah. 80 something, but you know, he has that capability. Matt Breida is a very good running back and Tevin Coleman.
He looked lightning fast, man. Yeah, he really did look And they said that was the fastest run this year. I think 23 miles per hour.
Yeah, I didn't even see that.
He looked super. Yeah, I think they said it was the fastest run. All right, what we got for the next game?
All right, so we will do Kevin's. Let's do this. How about I do Dallas Jets and you do Green Bay Lions? Those are the last two of Kevin's games. I'll start off first with Dallas Jets, and then we'll just wrap up Kev's games that way. So, in this game, we're going to do Dallas and the Jets. For me, it's, you know, the Jets are at home, which to me really doesn't make a difference. You know, the Cowboys have not looked good the past couple of weeks. They really haven't. You know, Dak has looked pretty terrible. You know, mediocre at best. You know, last week against Green Bay, they were just down so many points. He just had to throw. So, you know, that 350 yard game and whatever two touchdown game that he had was not, you know, super impressive. He looked bad. But for fantasy purposes, you know, that's what you want out of your fantasy quarterback. And, you know, he's definitely a viable fantasy starter, you know, basically rest of season. So I wouldn't have a problem starting Dak in this game, obviously. you know, for the rest of the Cowboys, I know Cooper has been limited this week, but you're definitely starting Cooper because, you know, we saw what Cooper did last week. He can just he has those games where he just blows up, and you never know when those games are going to be. But, you know, you want him on your you want him in your lineup every single week to have those games because he does have those games. Gallup, I actually really like in this game. I think Gallup is going to, you know, see a whole lot of, you know, Tremaine Johnson, who has just been bad all year long. He's really been bad since last year. You know, he just has not been, he's not been good. You know, you can clearly see why the Chiefs didn't re-sign him, because he has just been getting worse and worse. And, you know, I could see Michael Gallup having a really good game. I'm starting him in almost every one of my DFS lineups. I really like him this week. Jason Witten, if you are hurting at tight end, is a tight end I would start. You know, he's going to see a whole lot of Blake Cashman, who's been giving up some points to the tight end position. And Jamal Adams is a very good safety, but, you know, he won't see exclusively Jason Witten, you know, in this game. He just doesn't cover the corner like that all the time. They kind of put him on, like, the really good corners, and Jason Witten is not a really good corner. You know, he's a really good tight end. He's just a, you know, at this point in his career, he's just a jag. But, yeah, I'm not scared of this. I'm not scared of this Jaguars defense. I mean, this Jets defense. They're just, you know, they're okay. On the Jets side of the ball, you know, Sam Darnold is back. So I do expect this to be a closer game than people are, you know, thinking. The Jets with Sam Darnold are just better. They're a better team with him. So I do think, you know, Le'Veon Bell in this game is viable because he's back. You know, I even think Robbie Anderson is viable in this game if you need a flex wide receiver. I would definitely throw him in especially some DFS lineups, some GPPs, because I think he could have a good game with Darnold back. Demaryius Thomas got 9 targets last week. I don't know how often that's going to be the case, but, you know, we'll see after this game. He's not a guy I'm starting this week, but definitely a guy to keep your eye out for. Jamison Crowder with Sam Darnold in the first week had 17 targets. So look for Crowder to get at least 8 to 10 targets in this game. You know, I just think he is probably going to be the most heavily targeted wide receiver on this team, especially with Sam Darnold back. And that's it for me. That's it for these, you know, this game. You know, I would start the Cowboys defense just because, you know, they seem to be opportunistic every once in a while. And, you know, they get some sacks because DeMarcus Lawrence is just an animal. And he will be going up against Chuma Edoga, however the hell you say that.
Did well on that one.
Exactly. He, you know, not a very good right tackle. You know, Lawrence is a, you know, left defensive end, so he's going to see a whole lot of him. And, you know, that could be bad. So that's about it.
All right. So I'm going to do Kev's last game, and then we'll wrap up our games. Detroit, Green Bay. This is the Monday night game, so this one should be, you know, these games are always good. Green Bay normally comes out ahead, and especially when it's in Green Bay. But they're good games to watch. So, you know, this is where they actually had that. The first of his many Hail Marys was I think, on a primetime game in Green Bay against Detroit. It actually might have been in Detroit. Throw. He threw like 72 yards.
Dude,
just
like all in the air, bro. That was a great throw. I'll never forget that throw.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Start with the Detroit side of the ball. Green Bay's defense has been good, but Stafford's been great, really good too. Where do I have Stafford? I got Stafford 14, so, you know, he's a potential starter, unless you have somebody better. I mean, if you obviously drafted Stafford, I don't think a lot of people drafted him as their number one, but a lot of people probably may have moved him up number one because he's been so good this year. So he's, you know, he's definitely a potential starter. You're definitely starting Galladay. You definitely start in Kerryon Johnson. And Marvin Jones is another hot and cold guy. You know, Galladay is obviously their go-to. But you know, Marvin Jones has had a game or two where he's been real good. So, I don't mind him as a flex play, but just another, you know, guy that I think you may have better options at. on the Green Bay side of the ball.
Hold up, T.J. Yeah. Hockenson.
Hockenson's back. He's not hurt, but you know he's only got two touchdowns this year. Well, he's got two touchdowns, but he was hurt, but he went cold for a while there, and then he had actually got that touchdown early in the game before he went out with the concussion. So TJ is an option. I mean, obviously he's got his ceiling is really, really high. We know how talented he is from that first game. So, I like TJ. I think he's going to be probably middle of my tight end pack. I think actually on a primetime game, he shows up. So I don't have a problem, starting TJ this week at all. Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, you're drafting Aaron Rodgers. You're not saying ever said Aaron Rodgers. Davante Adams is still out, I believe. Allison and MVS. I definitely think you're starting MVS. Allison's tricky. A lot of people, we actually get a lot of questions. I think I've been reading a lot of questions on whether or not to start Allison because, his workload going to be a lot heavier now? What kind of chemistry does he have with Aaron Rodgers? And I wouldn't mind Allison in a flex play. But I think MVS, just from watching these games, MVS is clearly the better receiver this year. We all thought Allison was going to be the number, the number two on the team, but hasn't turned out that way through the first 5 weeks. So, who knows what's going to happen going forward? I don't think either of them are head over heels better than the other. Obviously Adams is, clearly the number one by far. It's not even close. So those two are just like a wait and see remainder of the year. And I really like Aaron Jones. I think coming off that four touchdown game, I know, he beat up on Dallas pretty good, but I think he can do the same thing to Detroit. I think, Dallas is generally a really good run stopping defense with their linebackers. And he had a day on them. I think he can, Green Bay being at home, I think he, I'm not saying he's going to repeat four touchdowns, but I think he can have himself another good day. I think they're starting to see now that he is, they're going to give him 80% of the work. I know, Steve, you have Jared Jones in our league, and it was frustrating the first few weeks because we saw so much Jamal Williams, and we don't know why. It was kind of like what the first game when you watched. It's bad analogy because Chicago Bears just stink in general, but when we saw Mike Davis out there for so much and, a little bit of Montgomery, you saw Montgomery actually looked faster and quicker. Same thing with the Packers, but on just a much better scale. Aaron Jones is clearly the better running back. He has shown it every single time he touches the ball compared to Williams. And I think that it just took some time, but I think that Green Bay has realized it, and they're gonna ride their boy now. Williams will just be spelling him when he needs, huffs and puffs. And that's about it. Jimmy Graham seems to get has games where he gets a lot of targets, and then he has games where he gets no targets. So, he's not consistent. He could catch a touchdown here or there, but you just don't know what you're going to get out of Jimmy.
Yep, I agree. I think that was a pretty good breakdown. The biggest problem I have with Jimmy Graham is, like Dan said, he's just way too damn inconsistent. Like, against the Eagles, the dude goes off. And then, he's had two games where he gave you a donut this year. So, he's a little bit frustrating for fantasy. I would try to find a better option if you can. If you can't, Jimmy is definitely an option, but
Don't be surprised if he gets, one catch on three targets, because that seems to be what half of his games look like.
Exactly. So if you want that, then go get Jimmy. You know what I mean? But yeah, I agree with Dan with that breakdown. I like his analysis on that breakdown. So let's go to, I guess, my next game. And my next game is the Hawks Browns. Actually, this is a game that I picked because I actually think Baker Mayfield is going to have a bounce back game. I know most people probably wouldn't agree with me. Most people are probably going to be like, nah, I don't see it, Stevie P. But
Bounce back as in like have like a really good game in general, or like
I think better
than his last couple weeks, because
I think he gets like
you really can't be worse than he was last week.
Oh yeah, he was terrible last week. You know what I mean? But you know what I mean, when you really break that game down last week, he was, you know, they went to San Francisco, so it was, you know, they had to travel halfway across the world, you know, to play a really good San Francisco team coming off a bye week. So, you know, that to me, that game just had tobacco written all over it. You know, it was one of those things where, you know, you look at that game and you can clearly, you know, see that that game might have been coming. You know, this week, I think they're pissed off. I think that Baker Mayfield, I don't think Baker Mayfield is a bad quarterback. I think Baker Mayfield is a little bit gun shy because the offensive line is bad. But I don't think that this Seahawks offensive line is all that great, other than, you know, Jadeveon Clowney. You know, Ansah really hasn't been that good this year. You know, he has just been okay. And then, you know, Quentin Jefferson has been, you know, pretty good at, you know, in their D line. But, you know, I think that the, you know, I think the Browns can have a good game because I think they'll be able to protect Baker a little bit better than they have been able to, you know, so far this year. You know, Nick Chubb, I love in this game. I think Jarvis Landry has been, you know, just a beast the past couple weeks for Baker, and Baker's looking for him. I think this is a bounce back game for Odell Beckham. I think Beckham is going to have a big game in this game. Shaq Griffin just can't cover Odell Beckham. And I think that the Browns are going to make it a point to get the ball in Odell's hands, you know, more than they have the past couple of weeks, you know, maybe some bubble screens and things like that to get Odell going. And, you know, I just think that this Browns offense is actually going to have a good game. You know, I'm playing Baker Mayfield in large, you know, GPP tournaments because I think he is going to have a big game. And I don't think a lot of people are going to play him because they're just worried about what he did last week. But you know, to me that was one of those games where, you know, you could definitely see that one happening. You didn't think it was going to be as bad as it was, but it was definitely, you know, something that you could see happening. On the other side of the ball in this game, you know, DK Metcalf is a threat to score a long touchdown every week. So, you know, if you needed a flex this week, Metcalf is not a guy that I would mind starting. Tyler Lockett is an every week locked in starter. He's the number nine tight wide receiver in football. You know, he's just been awesome. You know, some of the catches he makes are just unbelievable. And he's going to be a good again this week. You know, they don't have anybody that can cover Lockett in this game. Will Disley, I love this week. I think Will Disley is going to have a very big game. You know, Jermaine Whitehead, I've been attacking all year long in you know, the wide receiver cornerback matchups. I put tight ends at the bottom of that. And, you know, that's a matchup that I'm definitely going after this week. And Mac Wilson has just, you know, he was good for like a week or two. And, you know, ever since Kirksey's gone out, you know, Mac Wilson has been the, you know, replacement. And for the past 2 weeks, he's just looked really bad. You know, that touchdown, Matt Breida, that was actually a Wilson missed tackle touchdown. You know, he should have filled that hole and he was just lost in the sauce. So, you know, Will Disley, I think is going to eat in this game. Chris Carson, I like this week. I don't think he's going to have a huge game, but I could definitely see him getting 80 yards and a possible touchdown. So he's an every week starter. You're definitely starting him. And I left Russell Wilson for last because I think Russell Wilson is going to be the, you know, number one or number two fantasy quarterback this week. I just think that, this Browns defense is, you know, easier to throw on than it is to run on. And I think the, you know, Seahawks are smart enough to know that, you know, they can beat this team through the air. So I could definitely see Russell Wilson doing his thing and getting, you know, 3 touchdowns in this game. I think it's going to be a high scoring game. I think both teams are going to be able to score on each other. And, you know, the Seahawks going all the way to, you know, Cleveland to play, I think is going to be one of those things, you know, West Coast team going to East Coast, and it's going to be a rough for the defense. So I like both offenses in this game. I wouldn't start either defense.
Every time we say the Browns are going to have a big game and score a lot of points, they put up like 7 points.
Yeah. Well, I don't think anybody's saying they're going to have a big game. I think I might be the only fantasy analyst that's saying that, but I do think this is going to be a much better game for Cleveland.
There's just so much talent on the team. I mean, you got to eventually think that I mean, what did you say last week? You kind of said that you predicted the Will Fuller thing, and I said the card's got to come out eventually. The guy's talented. You know, you threw out those stats about how much he's actually on the field, and you just look at how much he was on the field, like 96% of the time, and you almost can't, you know, with how good Deshaun Watson is and how good that offense is, it almost was unbelievable to hear that he, you know, when you look at how little his stats were, you know, like 40, you know, 30, 40 yards a game consistently the whole entire year. It's like, how is this even possible? And then there he goes and explodes for 220 and three touchdowns. So it was just a matter, you know, it was just a matter of odds. And I kind of feel like, I kind of agree with you on this one. I kind of feel like the Browns, even as much of a train wreck as they might be internally, you still have a squad full of really talented people. You know, if Baker can get his head out of his ass and just make plays to these superstars, then, you know, sky's still pretty high for them as far as, you know, offensively goes, but defensively they're a mess. So I don't really think that they're in the league of, you know, maybe the Ravens in that division. The Ravens haven't looked tremendous the last few weeks like they did in the beginning of the season, but still early.
Still early.
All right. So who we got next? Next up on
your next game is
Denver and Tennessee.
Yep.
All right. That's it. Man. I picked this one.
Yeah, this is gonna be a defensive.
Yeah, you know, over under 40. I think it'll be a stretch to get there. Denver. I got Denver actually ranked really high on defense this year. I think I got them ranked like second or third because I like Denver's defense this week. They seem to play really good at Mile High always. And, you know, aside from, you know, 1 or 2 weeks, Mariota has not been good. We've obviously talked about that multiple times. So I think they're going to get after him. They're definitely going to make him uncomfortable. The one bright spot on Tennessee is, you know, Derrick Henry. He's your every week starter. He's a top 10 running back right now. I don't think that you're ever going to take him out. And he's probably the only guy on Tennessee that you really are, you know, have. Well, Delanie Walker. Him and Delanie Walker are your every week starters. And that's it. You know, you don't know what AJ Brown is, you know, hot and cold. Corey Davis had the one good week. So, you know, Deion Lewis has been, you know, out in outer space somewhere. Who knows where Deion Lewis is even. He's the backup running back, but, you know, they bring him in for third down and they're really not even giving him any check down. So Deion Lewis is not even a flex start considerable. I thought maybe when the year started and, you know, PPR leagues, he's always seemed to get a lot of work on third downs and pretty good with receptions, but it hasn't happened this year. On Denver side of the ball, Emmanuel Sanders. Sutton's been good. I mean,
very good.
Yeah, he has been. He's been the one big surprise on Denver. I mean, we kind of didn't know what we were going to get out of Philip Lindsay, Royce Freeman. It looks like over the last 2-3 weeks, Lindsay is, you know, really grasping that number one running back position from Freeman. Freeman's still getting work. It's not a 70-30 yet. It is still a 60-40. Freeman's still getting a good amount of work, but he's just not making as much out of his work as Lindsay is. You know, like Freeman's going 8 carries for 30, 40 yards, you know, 10 carries for 30, 40 yards, whereas, you know, Lindsay's getting, but Freeman's getting a lot of the, you know, the receiving work, but, you know, Lindsay's getting 15 carries for 75 yards. You know, he's getting the bigger plays. Lindsay's getting the touchdowns. Freeman doesn't even have a touchdown this year. So you're definitely, I don't think you're starting Freeman until he can show that he, you know, gets you in the end zone and gets bigger chunk yards. And Lindsay, you're starting, like I said, you're starting, I don't have a problem with starting Sutton and definitely don't have a problem starting Emmanuel Sanders. No, Noah Fan is still not, you know, not relevant at all.
Yeah, I agree. The one guy I would throw in my flex on the Titan side of the ball is AJ Brown. It's, you know, Isaac Yadam, I think is how you pronounce it, has just not been very good this year. And, you know, Delanie Walker also, I think Delanie Walker is, you know, I don't think he's going to be great. I don't think he's going to be bad. But, you know, if I, you know, needed a tight end, you know, I would throw Delaney in there. So, you know, that's basically it for me. I agree with Dan. I think, you know, Derrick Henry is the main focus on this team that I want in my lineups, and the rest of the guys are either flex plays or just not plays at all. All right, so I'm going to do my last game, and then Dan will wrap it up with Pittsburgh, LA. And I am going to do Texans, Chiefs. So Texans, Chiefs, you know, we all have heard it all week. This is going to be one of the games of the year. And I agree. I don't see how this is not a high-scoring game. You know, I've tried to look up some stats that I thought would be relevant to maybe say that Kansas City can, you know, stop the Texans or the Texans can stop Kansas City. And the one stat I did come up with was that the Kansas City Chiefs, since week seven of last year, have not let up a 100-yard receiver at home. And the last player to do that was A.J. Green. So, you know, week seven of last year, A.J. Green had 117 total yards. He did not have a touchdown in that game. Andy Dalton actually only threw for 70 yards in that game, with A.J. having 117. So, you know, and if you look at the opposing quarterbacks, only one quarterback in that span has had 300 yards, and that was Phillip Rivers. You know, but none of the wide receivers in that game had a touchdown. I think that was week 13 of last year. Phillip Rivers had a 300-yard passing game at home against Kansas City. Well, you know, when Kansas City was at home. And, you know, that's it. So, really, Kansas City at home has been a pretty good, you know, defense, you know, with past statistics. But I just think you have to throw that out the window this week. I really do. You know, DeAndre Hopkins is just so due for a huge game. Will Fuller, coming off of last week's game, looked like a just complete animal. You know, Breshad Breeland is, there's no way, and they're saying that Breeland is going to shadow Hopkins in this game, which I just think is a mistake. You know what I mean? Like, DeAndre is going to have a big game. I'm sorry. Just to me, there's no way he doesn't have a big game here, especially if Breshad Breeland is on him all game. You know, Will Fuller, I like Will Fuller this week. I don't think he's even anywhere close to what he had last week, but I wouldn't surprise me if he had like 60, 70 yards and a touchdown. It wouldn't surprise me if he had 100 yards and a touchdown, but, you know, I do think they, you know, are going to limit the deep passes. With Tyrann Mathieu, I think they're going to make sure, you know, they play him over the top for Will Fuller to make sure Will Fuller doesn't get off in this game. But, you know, I'm starting Will Fuller. I'm starting DeAndre Hopkins. You're never not starting, you know, Deshaun Watson. For the running backs in this game, you know, I rewatched some of the tape. Duke Johnson doesn't look completely terrible, but the problem is I just don't think they trust Duke to have a really any kind of workload. You know, last week a bunch of his runs were when they were just blowing Atlanta out, and he got, you know, a couple plays at the end of the game that looked good. But, you know, really I don't think I'm starting either one of these, you know, running backs in this game. I think this is going to be a game where they're going to have to throw a lot, both teams, and, you know, it is what it is. So that's it for the Houston side of the ball. On the Kansas City side of the ball, you know, if it sounds like Tyreek Hill is going to play in this game, if Tyreek Hill plays, you cannot play Byron Pringle. You know, I have Byron Pringle written up in the wide receiver defense, you know, wide receiver cornerback matchups. You know, Tyreek Hill would take that spot if Pringle were to miss this game. I mean, if, you know, Hill was to miss this game, you would see Pringle on the field, and I would start him, because whoever's on that side of the ball, Tyreek Hill, you know, Pringle, I don't care who it is, they're playing Lonnie Johnson, and Lonnie Johnson has been terrible this year. So I could see either one of those guys going off. Whichever guy it is, that's the guy you're playing. Mecole Hardman is a guy that I actually think will have a good game in this game, just because Bradley Roby is just, you know, he's been hit or miss. He's either been pretty good or he's been terrible this season. So I could definitely see, you know, Hardman getting a couple of deep shots. Travis Kelce is going to be a man amongst boys in this game. I love Travis Kelce this week. He's actually my favorite play tight end in DFS. You know, he's a viable play every week in DFS, but I really think this game is going to be his, you know, he hasn't had a touchdown this year yet, so I think this is the game where he finally gets in the end zone, and I think he has over 100 yards. So I would get him in as many DFS lineups you can get him in. Patrick Mahomes, you know, hobbled last week. You heard all that news. You know, you saw what he looked like in the game. I don't care. I think Patrick Mahomes is going to go off in this game at home. It's just, you know, to me, this is a get-right game for Patrick Mahomes. And Damian Williams, if I'm going to start a Kansas City Chief running back, it's going to be Damian Williams. You know, LeSean McCoy is still banged up with that ankle. He just has not looked very good this year. Other than, you know, a couple of big runs, and Damian Williams, I think they're going to, you know, hit him with a couple of passes in this game. And I also think he's going to get some run with the ball, and I could see him having a pretty good game. So that is it for me. I'm not starting either one of these defenses, obviously. And I think this is a huge game.
All right. Did we do the Baltimore game? Baltimore, Cincinnati.
Did we?
I don't think we did that. Baltimore, Cincinnati.
No, we didn't.
Yeah. I'll do the 8 o'clock, the 8:20 game Sunday night, and then yeah, just do the Baltimore Cincinnati game. I think people want to hear about Lamar. He's been he's been electrifying. All right, so Pittsburgh and in LA. Start on Pittsburgh side of the ball because they're the away team. That's what I've been doing on my little routine. Obviously you're not starting Mason Rudolph, especially against the the Chargers. The defense has been good, and Rudolph is not. Juju Smith has not been good, but you're not going to sit Juju. He's basically, you know, one of the few bright spots on the Chargers, on the Steelers. Although Johnson has looked pretty decent of late. I still don't think I would start him until he, you know, shows that he might take that, you know, that number two wide receiver role. But even so, I'm not a fan of this Steelers team right now. I think they're in shambles. They lost all their star players except for Juju and Connor. Big Ben's down, you know. So I think the team is just they're going to be in a rebuild phase. They're not the Dolphins, but they're just not really all that relevant right now. So I like Juju. Connor's a good start always. He's been consistent this year. He's not great, but he's not bad in any way. He's been productive. And Vance McDonald has looked pretty good. So, you know, tight ends are tough to come by. So if you got Vance, I think, you know, he's always a good start. He gets a lot of targets every week, especially when there's a backup quarterback in there. So that's who I like on the Pittsburgh side of the ball. I know Samuels had a big game a couple weeks ago, but I'm still not starting Samuels yet. So on the Charger side of the ball, I like Rivers this week. I got Rivers at number 12. So I got him as a QB1. I think he has a big week against the Steelers. He's at home. I think you could start either running back. You definitely start Melvin Gordon. You definitely start Eckler. I think they're going to, until, you know, like I said earlier, until Melvin gets a little more situated and comfortable back into his role, Eckler, and even after that, Eckler's still going to be relevant. So both of these guys moving forward for a few weeks at least are both going to probably be similar numbers as far as fantasy goes. I think they're both going to be in that 15 range because they're both really, you know, really, really good ball catchers, really good backs. I think you're definitely, without a doubt, you're starting Keenan Allen. He's a target machine. You know, you never not starting Keenan, regardless of who the matchup is. And then aside from that, what do we say that tight end Hunter Henry returned to practice, but he's not playing, right?
Yeah. He was full practice on Friday, but he's out for the game.
Gotcha. So, yep, that answers your question about Hunter Henry. If you picked him up, I know a lot of people probably did, you know, seeing that he was, you know, made a quicker recovery than people thought. But Hunter Henry is just, he might be one of those guys that goes down like a Tyler Eifert, you know, where he just has a ton of talent and can't keep himself on the field. Aside from that, is Williams back?
Yes, Mike Williams, they're saying, is going to play.
Okay, that's what I thought. I thought I read that. So, yeah, if Mike Williams is playing, I think you're starting Mike Williams because he's, you know, the Steelers defense, just they don't cover really. So And I like the Chargers offense this week. So yeah, if Mike Williams is back, you're going to start Mike Williams as well.
Yep, I agree.
Neither Charger defense I don't mind. At home against Steelers, but I mean, I think there's better options, but I don't mind the Chargers defense.
Yeah, I think the Chargers defense are definitely a start,
Yeah.
Devlin Hodges is going to be the quarterback, and we didn't see enough of him, last week to really tell if he's great or bad, but I'm going to go on the rookie, quarterback that's not good. Especially going to LA. I definitely love the Chargers defense this week. So, it's going to be one of those, like Dan said, start Connor, start Juju, and the rest of them, you can't start any of them. It is what it is. Connor, definitely. I just want to reiterate, what Dan said. Connor has been good, and now with no Samuels, I think he's going to get a ton of work. So, Connor is definitely a guy that, be happy that you are going to have him for the next month, because I think he is going to get a ridiculous amount of work, in the passing game, in the running game. He's just going to be crazy used with no Samuels.
Yeah, Samuels at least got, took a little bit of that that passing game away from Connor. I mean, Connor's not terrible out of the backfield. He's not great, but that was Samuels' forte. His specialty was at least, a third down back, a nice check down back, and it's all on Connor now. So yeah, he's definitely going to be, like you say, getting a lot of the work.
Yep. All right, so the last game on the docket is going to be Baltimore-Cincinnati. So Cincinnati is going to Baltimore, and Cincinnati has just been bad all year. So this is going to be a quick one. You're starting Lamar Jackson, obviously. He is the number one fantasy quarterback, is he number one or number two? I think he's one.
I think he is one.
Yeah, he's one.
So I would expect him to be. He's been incredible.
He's been awesome. So, the number one fantasy quarterback, you're playing him. Mark Andrews, you're playing him against this terrible Cincinnati Bengals team. Marquise Brown, I'm playing him. Willie Snead, if I absolutely needed a flex, I would actually trot out Willie Snead this week because the Cincinnati team is bad. So I think, really anybody on this team is viable. Mark Ingram is probably one of my favorite running backs this week. I think Mark Ingram is in line for a huge game. The Bengals have been getting up 38 points per game to fantasy running backs, which is an incredible number. That's just a stupid number. That is really, really high. They are the worst run defense in football, and it's not close. It's like by a very wide margin. This Ravens offensive line is good, and this Bengals defensive line, other than Geno Atkins, is bad. So, it's as simple as that. On the Bengals side of the ball, I actually do think that Joe Mixon is going to have a pretty good game in this game, because I just don't think that the, Ravens run defense is what it used to be. I think that, I think they're going to be able to make some holes. I think that the Bengals are going to make some holes for Mixon. I think they're going to get him more acclimated, into the passing game this week, because they need to. They need to get the ball in his hands if they want to even try to win this game. Tyler Boyd, love him this week. He's going to be good. Auden Tate, if I absolutely need a wide receiver, you start him just because he has basically been on the field for 98% of snaps since John Ross has gone down. So, he's going to be on the field a lot is all I can say. I don't think he's any good, but it is what it is. Andy Dalton is, you can't start him. You just can't start him in this game. The Ravens pass defense is better than their run defense. And, I don't like Andy Dalton going to Baltimore in a game where he doesn't have, all of his weapons. He has not been very good this year. And, this is not a get right game for him. So, I'm staying away from Eifert. I'm staying away from, Damian Willis. I'm staying away from Giovanni Bernard. I'm staying away from all those guys. So it's basically Tate in a break glass for emergency situation, and Tyler Boyd and the rest of the guys on this team, and Mixon, and and the rest of the guys are sucky, but you just don't want any of them. They're bad. It's not a situation that I am interested in starting anyone. So that's it, guys. That is the podcast today. Remember to go to www.4thandinchesff.com. That's the number 4, thandinchesff.com, to get all of your information from the website. You know, we have a lot of information on that website, guys. Just, you know, wide receiver, cornerback matchups, you know, breakdowns. We do waiver wire. There's just, check out the website. I promise you, you're going to find something that you didn't know on that website that's going to help you out in your fantasy leagues to help you win a championship. I promise. Go check it out. You're going to love it. And for us here at 4th and Inches, peace.
See you.